time to check in across the ditch with Brad Foster, our Australian correspondent. Hey there, Brad.
Hey, Jesse. How are you going?
Good. More rain out your way.
We have had a fair bit of rain, and I'm a house husband now, and I have to do all the washing. It's getting very testing. I'm not being able to do my job properly.
Yeah, okay.
I've got to get it all done.
How interested is everyone over there in the Omicron variant? Is it big news?
Well, the media is certainly running with it. I don't know how big a story it is, how dangerous it is, but we have now recorded 13 cases in New South Wales, one in the NT and one in the ACT. South Australia reported they've had 18 new COVID cases last Thursday, actually, which was their largest single day tally for more than a year. Now, this has prompted Western Australia, Queensland and the NT to shut out travellers from South Australia.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And
they're really persevering with the elimination, those states, eh?
They are. And now the South Australian Premier, Steve Marshall, has hit back over the weekend saying that travellers from New South Wales, Victoria and the ACT could soon find themselves locked out of South Australia. Only days after we were actually welcomed back for the first time in months. Now, this could be bad news for people wanting to travel back to South Australia for Christmas. It's crazy. And the ironic thing is that Fiji welcomed its first Australian travellers last week, and we still can't travel to parts of our own country.
Christmas has played a big part in the decision-making here in New Zealand. Has it been looming in Australia, like, let's get this done by Christmas, let's get people moving by Christmas, let's get families reunited? Has there been the same pressure?
It has been in parts. WA is leading its own race. They're not budging for anyone. Mm. Queensland's supposed to open its border in the middle of this month, and there's a lot of people who have got family and holidays booked up there. So we hope that the Omicron variant won't change that. What it has changed is that all new international arrivals into New South Wales and Victoria must now isolate at home for 72 hours. And it's also paused the arrival for 2 weeks of international students and skilled workers who were going to be arriving in Sydney last week. So, it has changed things, but whether it's as bad as the media are making out, we'll watch this space.
Yeah, I see the vaccination rates are looking a bit better than last time I checked in Queensland. Obviously, the message has got through that people will be coming at some point and you may as well prepare.
Yeah, I think so. That's the case. And now the federal government is looking at vaccinating children aged between 5 and 11 years of age. That's going to start on the 10th of January, which is just in time for the new school year to commence. This was announced by the Federal Health Minister, Greg Hunt, and he said in the same breath that after 20 years in politics, he's not going to be recontesting his seat at next year's election because he wants to spend more time with his family. So he's been at the forefront of COVID since it started, and I guess he's probably a little bit tired.
Yeah, you would be. There's the Pfizer vaccine for kids 5 to 11. Yeah. Australia hasn't been using the Pfizer vaccine in general, has it? It's had its own brand, is that right?
We've had a couple of brands. Pfizer was, I think, for people under 50, for people. Yeah, I'm not 100% sure on what the.
Do you know which one you got, Brad, or did you just show up and say, "Chuck it in"?
I said, "Can you give me one, please?" I used to work in the travel and tourism and events industry, and I'm hoping to do so once more. So I thought I'd better get double jabbed pretty quick.
Okay. So probably everyone's had enough of COVID. What else is happening in Australia?
Well, I wanted to tell you about a fun story. I don't know, Jesse, if you've ever been enjoying a nice seafood lunch outside and the seagull has come up and stolen a chip.
Yes, definitely, every summer.
Well, there's a company called Mad Dogs and Englishmen that has a solution they've used successfully at the Sydney Opera House for some time, and they've just had their contract extended for another couple of years. They use 12 specially trained border collies and kelpies to keep the seagulls off tables and away from patrons at the Opera House, the Opera Bar, one of our nicest bars in Sydney, and the Opera Kitchen. And it's been working well. The diners are happy, the venue owners are happy, but apparently the opposition Minister for the Arts, Walt Secord, isn't happy. He's been reported as saying the payment of $400,000 a year is ludicrous. He said taxpayers shouldn't be paying this kind of money to shoo away seagulls, but they're not actually, it's not taxpayer funded. An opera house spokesman said that the dog patrols are paid by each venue each year, and they think it's great, and they're going to continue with it in the future. So that's good news, and maybe there's some smart entrepreneurs in New Zealand, Jesse, who might think they could do something similar in some of your areas.
Yeah, I wonder if the dogs are getting a cut of that, seeing they're doing all the work.
Oh, they might get a nice bone at the end of their shift, sure.
Yeah, so, and that's just around the Opera House, is it?
Yeah, it is. The Sydney Fish Market is going through a major redevelopment, like hundreds of millions of dollars, and I hope that they're going to end up there, because I was there a few weeks ago having fish and chips, and the seagulls weren't making it very pleasant, so I think there's room for expansion for mad dogs and Englishmen, and it's a great idea.
What else is happening at the moment?
A couple of other news stories. A group of 55 women from a gym in Western Australia last week won the $80 million Powerball lottery. They'll now have a super Christmas, all $1.4 million richer. The first Ashes test between Australia and England starts in Brisbane on Wednesday. And Crowded House has announced an Australian tour in April next year, their first tour to Australia in 12 years.
Oh, that'll be hotly anticipated. Great New Zealand band.
Yeah, yep, for sure. They're off to Perth, Sydney, Melbourne, Adelaide, and are doing an evening on the green in the Southern Highlands in Barrel. So that's good. I think the tickets are going to be a bit hard to get. If you know anyone, Jesse, I might ask you to give me a hand to get a few.
Yeah, I was trying to bait you there, Brad, but you didn't go for it. Probably a few Australians would claim them as an Australian band, but I'm glad that while you're on New Zealand radio, you're not going to go along with that myth.
Well, I don't know. Russell Crowe, is he an Aussie or New Zealand? I can't remember.
So they play in Perth, Sydney, Melbourne, Adelaide, and a city I haven't heard of called, is it Bowral?
Bowral, yeah, that's in the Southern Highlands. It's about an hour and a half south of Sydney.
Huh.
And they do a day on the green where everyone gets a wine and cheese plate and sits on the grass and listens to music, and certainly be great with Crowded House. Nicole Kidman will be walking the red carpet for the premiere of her latest movie, Being the Ricardos.
Yeah, we can't really claim her as a New Zealander, I'm afraid. She's a true blue Aussie.
Yeah, well, she's playing Lucille Ball in the movie, and there's a big Oscar buzz about this. It's actually her 65th film. Incredible.
Wow.
I remember her in BMX Bandits many moons ago. I think that was one of her.
Yeah, me too. And then Bangkok Hilton was a bit of a breakout for her, and there was Dead Calm with Sam Neill, all those wonderful early memories, yeah.
Yes,
I had no idea about this Lucille Ball movie, and it's directed by Aaron Sorkin, so that's going to be a cracker.
Yeah, I think Cate Blanchett was originally cast in it, but something happened, and so I guess Nicole's got the red hair already, so but apparently she does a great job. And one of Australia's most celebrated performers passed away last week, David Dalatingu, a dancer, painter, singer, and an enduring figure of Australian cinema. He rewrote how First Nations people are depicted on screen. One of his earliest films was Storm Boy, and he appeared in Crocodile Dundee, I think the first one. But he's a great Indigenous performer, and is going to be sorely missed by everybody.
Very good. Hey, great to get the update, Brad. Good luck with the Crowded House tickets, and I'll let you... Neil sometimes listens to this show, so Neil, if you feel like taking kindly on our Australian correspondent, get in touch
Mr. Finn. I'll call him Mr. Finn.
Yeah, okay. Good to talk. If you could go anywhere, would you go to the Sydney one?
Well, the Barrow one would be great.
All right.
I've been to... I saw Jewel in the Hunter Valley playing in a similar sort of scenario.